Hi, my name is Cassie Elva from the Post Women's Hockey Team, and you're listening to College Hockey Talk.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of College Hockey Talk. I'm your host, Matthew, and thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And on today's podcast, I'm joined by Post Women's Hockey player Casti Elvidge. In this episode, we discuss many things, including Casti's college hockey experience with Post, Casti's journey to college hockey, and what it's like playing in the Neuha Conference. And we also have a special guest appearance at the very end of this interview, so make sure you listen to the whole thing so you can hear that. However, before we get to today's episode, I'd just like to ask if you can please follow us on social media, whether it's on Instagram or Twitter at College Hockey Talk, where you can get updates on this podcast as well as other things going on in college hockey. Also, subscribe to our Apple Podcast page and leave a rating and review, and follow us on Spotify as well. Doing these things helps this podcast grow, helps new people find us, and I truly appreciate it if you did that. It means a lot to myself. Also, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel as well, where we post other cool content and videos on that. So make sure you subscribe to that. I would appreciate that very much. Now, without further ado, here's today's episode with Casti. I hope you guys enjoy it. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of College Hockey Talk. On today's podcast, I'm joined by a very special guest. Post women's hockey player Casti Elvidge joins the show today. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Casti, and how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, feeling good. My Sunday rest day, so it's good. Some good stuff.
Yeah, and obviously you're coming off of a weekend series against St. Anselm. It obviously didn't go your team's way, but what did you take away from that weekend series, especially since St. Anselm is one of the top teams in your conference?
So unfortunately, I didn't get to play this weekend. I've been out with a concussion, but starting back in practice on Monday. But just from watching from the stands, like, it was, despite the score, it was actually, like, a good game for our team. Like, we're starting to work more together as a team. It's just unfortunate, the bounces that did happen, but I'm hoping we could take away from what happened this weekend and bring it on to next weekend.
And how would you evaluate your team's performance as of now? And what are some things you're hoping to accomplish as the regular season comes to a close? Just because the record might not be where your team wants it, but talking to other players in your team, it says you guys are kind of making progress as the regular season has been going on.
Yeah, like, obviously it's not where we want to be, but I mean, there are, like, the little things that are adding up and, like, improving us as we go on. So I'm hoping that, like, as we continue to, like, finish off the season, that we can start incorporating more of what we're actually working on into our game. And I'm hoping to see, like, a couple different changes, but honestly, like, it has been a big change from the beginning of the season to now. So I'm just hoping it continues on.
Now, how's the injury recovery going for yourself? I guess, is a concussion a little bit, like, different recovery than other injuries in the past, just because, like, you need to get tested and cleared for it compared to, like, a leg injury where you kind of know when it's all said and done with?
Yeah, concussions are kind of a little annoying. Like, it's frustrating having to sit in your room in the darkness and, like, know that, like, you don't know when it's going to be better. Like, one day your head turning, the next day you're like, wow, I feel okay again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just frustrating knowing you can't do much about it. Like, with other, like, leg things, right, you can maybe, like, put some stuff on it, wrap it up. Like, maybe you'd still be good to play, you know, but, like, with concussion, it's hard because it's your head. Like, I don't want to, you know, ruin my brain and then not be able to use it in the future kind of thing, right? Like, it's a tricky one, but I'm glad I'm feeling better. I've got all my rest in, so I'm good to go again.
Yeah, you're going to be back for next week. Is that the plan?
Hope so. Awesome. Yeah, I'm hoping.
And how did the concussion happen? Did it happen during a game? And I guess, like, did you know, like, you were going to be out for a little bit after the injury happened?
It was kind of a weird one. I've had, like, bigger concussions in the past, but Monday we played Sacred Heart. I just got, like, a little hit in the corner, kind of roughed me up a little bit. So I just took this week off of practice, took this weekend off of games. Just something, it was just mild, like it wasn't too bad, but feeling a lot better now.
Well, that's good to hear that you're feeling better. And I kind of want to transition and talk about the conference you play in, just because it's kind of a not as well-known conferences as some of the other ones in Division I Women's College Hockey. So you play in Neuha. Just talk about the conference, the competition you play each and every night, and just talk about some of the rinks you get to go to as well, because I found it kind of funny that you play in the same rink as Sacred Heart does.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people underestimate our conference. Like, I don't think they think, like, highly of it in a way. But it's totally untrue. Like, if you come to our games, they're fast-paced. Like, they're just as skilled as any other conference. They're good games. Like, and honestly, it could go either way. Obviously, we have our top teams. We have our lower teams. It is what it is. But again, like, any night, anything could happen, right? It's a good conference. And I think as we grow, like, as all of our teams grow in the conference, it's going to be good. And, like, people are going to be scared of us. And, you know, it's going to be good competition. But rink-wise, yeah, it's funny having to share a rink with Shu, but I mean, it kind of makes it fun when it comes to games, like a little like rivalry kind of thing. But it's definitely different compared to other conferences, just because I think the only team in our conference that has their own rink is St. A's.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of us, we all have to use like different places. So I think when you play like out of conference games and people come to your rink, they're like, oh, it's kind of different than what we're used to. Like, bigger schools have like their own rinks on campus and stuff, right? So it's definitely a little different, but I mean, hockey's hockey. I'll play on any rink.
Yeah. Well, luckily that'll be your own rink because Sacred Heart's getting a new facility, I think, next season. So that should be fun for your team to go out there, but also to finally get your own rink, I guess.
Yeah, it'll be nice not having to like compete for ice time in that sense. And hopefully we'll get more like exposure out of it too. Be mm-hmm. like, oh, post-women's hockey, yeah. Because, you know, Shu's been around a lot longer than us. So a lot more people in Shelton do know about their team more than our own. So I'm hoping that creates something for us too.
And when talking about the Neuha Conference, it seems like there have been some noise that's been made just following the games throughout the regular season. Some of the Neuha teams beat some of the teams in Hockey East and the ECAC. So it's kind of cool seeing how the programs are growing and competing with some of those top Division I conferences like Hockey East and the ECAC. So it's only getting better from here on out.
Yeah, and honestly, like, come on, like, I know they're like my competition, but it's nice seeing them succeed too in that way. Like, knowing that, hey, like, they're giving exposure to our conference and like letting people know that we are here to compete, you know, like, it's good. It's exciting.
Yeah, and you had the chance to play some of those top D1 conference teams. You played Dartmouth this year. You also played RPI. Just talk about what it was like getting the chance to play some non-conference games this year, and what'd you take away from them?
I think it was great playing them. Like, it was good to have the opportunity, like, to actually play some out-of-conference games that are, you know, D1 games, just because we were, like, so new in the past that he wanted, I guess, to transition us, like starting off with D3 into D1, whatever. But it's nice to actually feel like, hey, we are a D1, like we can compete. And personally, I think the games were good. Like, the score, again, like, obviously didn't win, but they were close enough to say that, hey, like, we can compete with them. And it shows that, like, we can stay in it. We have this, like, we're going to be a good D1 team too. Just takes time. Every program takes time.
Yeah, and one highlight for your team this season is when you swept St. Michael's to start off the season. How important was that sweep for your team to kind of start off the regular season on a positive note?
It was big. Like, that gave us a lot of motivation to, like, hey, we can do this. Like, we can beat teams. We have this. Like, I think in the past, just been, like, intimidated because, you know, we are newer. Girls are a lot bigger on other teams. Like, we know it's going to be hard, but that first win off the bat, I think, gave us a lot of motivation to move on. And it was good just to know, like, hey, we're not going to be at the bottom. We can work our way up. Like, let's do this.
Mm-hmm. And I guess you another kind of highlight for your team this year was when you beat Anna Maria College this season. Another D3 program, but it felt like that win was important for your team as well, just because your team was struggling up to that point, but it was also a good way to start off the second semester.
Yeah, I think it was, I think they were both good games to get into to, like you said, start off the semester. They were definitely wins needed to like give some of us a little bit of that boost. And it was honestly like just after a long Christmas break too. Like I think we had like 3 weeks off. So it was a good way to like get our legs start moving again. So when we actually played like in conference teams, it would be better.
And what are some of your goals and expectations, I guess, for the rest of the regular season? It's kind of hard to believe that this is the last month of the regular season before playoff time. So what's your kind of goals and expectations heading into the home stretch of the season?
Yeah, it's weird to say that it's only like a month left of hockey, but I'm hoping right now I don't think we're generating enough goals. So I'm hoping that we can come together as a team and maybe put it in the net a little bit more. I know there's only, I think we only have like 8 or 6 games left, but that's still enough time to like work that out and try to achieve that.
Now, being a junior in the team this year, I guess, what type of leadership have you tried to bring to the team? Are you more of a vocal leader? Are you more of a lead by example type of player? Just because your team has, I think, 15 or 16 new players on the team. So that's kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah, I definitely, if you ask anyone on the team, I'm not like the center of attention kind of leader. Like I'm not out there, but like, I'm going to pull you off to the side. I have my one-on-one conversations. Like, let's say like game's not going your way. Like I can tell, like I'll be over there. Like, I know that like for a lot of girls, the hardest person on yourself is yourself. Right. And, I think as a leader, it's important to like, you know, help girls through that. But again, like, one-on-one kind of things is more me than being out there and being loud.
Yeah, and how have you tried to help those players transition into college hockey? Just because there's so many new players on the team, you know, they're going to be in situations that they've never experienced before that most freshmen don't get to experience, because most teams have half their team is like juniors and seniors. So how have you tried to help their transition into college hockey? And what have you noticed, I guess, from the start of the season to now from their development as hockey players?
It's definitely challenging because, yeah, we had 16 new girls come in, 11 of us, like, returners. Two of them have been there for a couple years, but, like, my group was only there 1 year. So we're kind of, like, still fresh to it, too, because we didn't play last season. So it was challenging in that way, like, try to help as much as you can. But it was nice, though, I think, because their group is so big coming in, they're able to get help from us, but like kind of learn off each other in a way. Whereas like our group was smaller coming in, it was a little different. Like I know how intimidating it can be coming in as a freshman. So like, I just kind of made clear to them like, hey, if you want to talk or if you're not like something's off, like I'm always open. But I think like speed wise, and it obviously takes a little while, like catching up to like the game. It is different than what you might have played before, but I think everyone did a great job transitioning into that.
Now, talk about your season so far individually. What's been, I guess, the biggest improvement you've made to your game as a junior versus your freshman year?
Definitely, for me personally, definitely a lot. Like, it was rough not having that last season to play and, like, being back home in Canada, like, all the lockdowns and stuff. It was hard to get ice time, but it also gave me like a kind of year to think about like, hey, like what do I want to accomplish going into this new year? Like, what do I need to work on? I definitely think compared to my freshman year to now, my confidence has definitely gone up a lot. Like I'm able to be a little more offensive than I think I would have been and a little more composed. Whereas I found myself freshman year running around a lot, where now, like I kind of know what to expect. I just feel better. I feel better about my game and I feel like I can play my old game again.
Now, also, what's been like the biggest adjustment since you were talking about how you had trouble, I guess, preparing for the upcoming season with all the lockdowns in Ontario? I guess, like, was there any adjustment you had to make to your game this season just because of the rust factor, I guess?
Oh, definitely. Like, just because not being able to do anything back home, it was like a little rough coming back into the season, because it's like, oh, like, I don't know where my skills are going to be. Like, you can only do so much off the ice. Like, skating and running are like two different things. Like, you can do as much cardio as you want, but like, you're still going to feel it when you get back on the ice skating. Yeah, it was just getting my head back into things, like not playing a hockey game for a whole year. Like, it was just getting that mindset back, like, hey, like, I need to do this, and making sure that all those like little things that I used to do weren't going to come up again, like gap control, like fixing that, and just little things. But it ended up working out. So
now, how was your off season last summer? Did you do anything interesting, whether it was hockey related or non-hockey related, or was it kind of just doing the training stuff as best you can?
Well, try to get on the ice as much as I could. Off ice, I was off season, I just love to be in the gym. I'm a little gym rat when I'm back home, in there like every day. I also had a job there too, so I just happened to be there a lot. But yeah, I just tried my best to stay in shape and get ready for what was to come.
And I guess how much ice time were you managing to get this past off season? Because it seemed like, from my perspective as a American, that it was kind of very, very restrictive towards the start of the summer, but it kind of eased up towards like the months of July and August. And then now it's just back to where it was in the early parts of the summer.
Yeah. Well, for me too, like where I live like middle of nowhere, like no rinks around. Well, rinks are around, but they're not open in the summer, small towns. So I have to drive like 2.5 hours to Toronto to get ice. And down there, it's pretty good. Like, I was able to find ice time. My old coach would run drills and stuff with me, so it was good. It was just, yeah, the matter of like, oh, is stuff going to open up? Like, I think beginning of summer, like, I want to say June, it wasn't open. But then right mid-July, everything opened up again. So I was like out there immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, I tried to be down there at least 2 or 3 times a week.
And how is training going right now overall when you're at post? Because everyone talks about off-season training and kind of that off-season grind, but I feel like no one really talks about what it's like training in the middle of the season. Is there some stuff that you normally don't do during the middle of the season that you would do during the off-season, or is it very similar, just in a different setting?
Just the way that we run, like, our training, we don't, like, I don't know how to word this. We do more things to, like, keep our bodies like the way it is, like, whereas back home when I'm training, like, I'm trying to build more muscle, like, I'm trying to get heavier in the sense of like muscle, I guess, whereas at school it's more like fast feet work, like more like body weight kind of stuff.
Yeah, what type of workouts do your team do with the body weights? I'm just curious about that, because I was talking to one of your teammates and apparently like you guys go hard out. Very, very hard when you do the team workouts in the gym.
Yeah, our trainer likes to push us. He likes our team because we work hard, he says. But yeah, so we do like a lot of, well, depending on the day, upper body, lower body, whatever. Just a lot of like ladder work, so like feet work kind of thing. I can't even think of what the exercises are called right now. But yeah, like a lot more like body movement type stuff, like your own body weight. We will put in like weights and stuff, but it's not going to be anything extreme compared to like what you should be lifting in the summer.
Yeah. Well, that must have been beneficial for yourself, because I'm assuming you had to do a lot of body weight workouts working out from home.
Open.
So you're probably like used to that already. So that wasn't really an adjustment. At least that's what I'm assuming.
I actually got really lucky back home. I was able to work out in like a full on gym.
Oh, nice.
Whereas I know a lot of girls weren't. So for me, it was good. Like, I was still able to like do my thing, have the equipment I need. But I know like a lot of the other Canadians on the team did struggle with that because they didn't have that same like opportunities I did.
Yeah, but it must have been still nice to know the work. One thing I've talked to other players about, which I found was interesting, is the thing that they don't like the most about home workouts is you don't work out with other people, because working out with other people helps motivate you to go a little bit harder in the gym and maybe do that extra rep that you normally wouldn't do. I'm just curious if you had that similar experience. Was it nice to finally work out with your teammates again and not just do it by yourself in a gym by all alone, basically?
Yeah, like, I definitely miss team workouts. I love doing team workouts, just being able to, like, kind of have fun with it, you know, like, music's playing, feeling good, you can sing with your friends, get some reps in. But like for me personally, when I'm back home, I actually don't mind working out on my own. I have my music in, I'm in the zone. I find that sometimes with like working out with the team, like I get a little distracted, like kind of just like take it serious, but like you're cracking more jokes and like it can get a little off topic sometimes. Whereas I'm by myself, I feel like I push myself harder and I go harder. But again, that's just me personally. Everyone's different. I know a lot of the girls like to be together to work out. So
now something else this year that must have been an adjustment is balancing both school and hockey, since you didn't have to do that last year. How's that been like? What's the secret, or what, how do you try to manage it all?
It was definitely like having that year off, it was definitely hard. I was like, oh my God, like I'm going to have to figure out how to do this all over again. But the way like I set it up is my classes are kind of like later in the afternoon. So we practice early morning, like 7 a.m. practice, whatever. We get back like 10:30. I have like a little time to like get myself organized, like transition from like my hockey mind to my school mind. So for me, like it hasn't been that bad of a transition. And I found like over the years too, I got really good at like managing all of that. So it was just a matter of like thinking about it again.
Now I kind of want to transition from the off season training to the beginning of your hockey career and kind of talk about that and work all the way up to where you are now today with post-university. So you're from Ontario. Talk about growing up there and how did you start playing hockey?
Actually kind of funny. I grew up in like a hockey family, but I figure skated for like the first 10 years. And then girls hockey just started to get big in my area. And I was like, my friends are doing it, I'm going to try it out too. And after like a couple years of playing, I was like, this is something I want to do. I love being on a team. I love team sports. It was life-changing, honestly. The more I went along with it, I was like, I want to compete. I want to take this to the next level. Like I want to do something with this. So, I found like the closest travel team. It's like an hour away from my house. So started playing there. I really enjoyed it. And I honestly never thought about college. I did. I was like, oh, it'd be really cool if I could, but I didn't. At the time, like when I was like 13, I didn't realize that the NCAA was a thing, if that made sense. And then as I got older, like 15, I started playing on teams where we were getting a little more exposure. And I learned about D1, D3, and I was like, oh, like this would be something cool to take into. And then as my career went on too, I got to like my last year of midget or U18, sorry. And I never really thought about the whole college thing. And then I was like, maybe this is something I can look into. I started getting some offers and I started talking to some coaches. I was like, this is something I can actually do. And, you know, I was excited about it. I was like, oh, like I can play college hockey. Like this was going to be fun.
And who was your favorite player growing up? Was it someone on the Leafs? Was it a women's player on the national team? Like who did you look up to?
Big Crosby fan growing up. It sounds really basic, but I loved Sidney Crosby. I was a big Pittsburgh fan. Still am, honestly. Even named my hamster after Sidney Crosby when I was younger.
Nice. What's your favorite Crosby moment? Was it him winning the Stanley Cup or the gold medal?
Oh, it's got to be the gold medal at the Olympics. Mm-hmm. That was a big one. I even have like a little poster of it too.
Oh, nice. Where were you when you saw that goal scored?
Oh, at home, chilling on my couch. But it was a good time. Good memory.
Oh, yeah. No, not a good memory for me as a USA citizen, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately.
rooting for that team to win, and unfortunately Canada won, so that kind of stinks. But hopefully USA can get revenge out of this Olympics.
It was a good game, though.
It was a good game. Ryan Miller played great. That's why I wanted them to win so bad, because he was probably the best player in the entire tournament that year. But – you know, Canada was loaded. Looking at that roster, they had like Bergeron, Sidney Crosby, John Tavares, I think, was on that team too. So there's a lot of studs on that team. So it was pretty cool to watch all those guys kind of play on the same team. And it's kind of disappointing that the NHLers can't go to the Olympics this year.
Yeah, it kind of is. But it was interesting to see like what the rosters were. Like, I don't know. I didn't really check out the U.S. side, but the Canadian side, I was like, okay, this is this is going to be good. Fun to watch.
Yeah, for the U.S. it was a lot. They took a lot of college players, actually. So that's the one interesting part for me, being a big college hockey fan, is to see like some of those college players get that opportunity to play in the Olympics. I thought that was pretty cool. So, yeah. And then I know for Canada, Owen Power, who is the number one overall picks on the team. So it'd be interesting to see what he does in the international stage, just because that's kind of the closest to pro hockey you can get besides college.
Yeah, it was fun watching both teams and juniors too. So I'm definitely interested to see how they're going to play in the Olympics.
Oh yeah, it should be fun. Yeah, it seems like Canada and U.S. just keep developing like the best like young players. So I think that's what makes the World Juniors fun. So it's going to be kind of cool to see those players get the chance to do it in the Olympic stage with like other seasonal, I guess, pro veterans in like Europe and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, I guess what made you want to like talk about the transition from figure skating to hockey? Was it much of a transition for you, or was it kind of a difficult one? Because the one thing about figure skating is they don't have as good skates as hockey players do. I think hockey skates look much cooler than figure skates, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree too. Having to put on both, I agree. It was nice because like I played hockey and I was like, oh, I was a good skater. Like I knew my edges, like skating was fine. It was just the whole like, oh, not to deal with like a hockey stick and puck. Like, it took me like a year to figure out what offsides was, but I got it. Like, it wasn't too bad. Like, again, I grew up in a hockey family. It wasn't like that big of a difference, but it was like learning the game in my mind versus the skating was fine. So I had a little bit of advantage there. That's what's always kind of helped me over the years, is like my skating's been good, and then everything else like I've been able to work on.
And before college, you played for the King Royals team. How'd you get the opportunity to go there and play for that organization?
So that was also, at the time, it was a brand new organization. I did a camp when I was younger in Toronto. It was like a specific like defenseman's camp. The guy who ran it ended up liking me, kind of like stayed in contact, but I like went back to my old organization, played there. I ended up actually getting cut from the organization that year for some reasons. And then I got a call from this guy and he's like, hey, like I'm starting a new team. Would you be interested in coming out for like a skate? And I was like, sure, like, why not? So I went out for a skate. They ended up liking me. I ended up liking him. The coach was a great guy. I played there for a year and it was like the same thing as like kind of post in the way, like they were both like starting teams and I was interested in building something more with them too. And like right now they're doing well from themselves. They're up to AA, so they're doing good.
And what's like, talk about your time with the King Royals team. How did it help prepare you for college hockey, and just what's the best memory you have with that organization?
It was huge for me. Like my coach of the King Royals, his name's Matt.
Good name.
He kind of like introduced me to this idea. He's like, hey, like you're good. You can do this. Like you have the talent. He's like, he was a All-American. He played at a Bowling Green and then went and played at Elmira. So he's like, he ended up like hooking me up with some people, helped me. Honestly, he helped me get recruited. He was great. And still to this day, like I talk to him about stuff, like talk to him about college, because he just understands it. He gets it. He's been through it too. So it's been really nice having him. And it was honestly great that I met him. Changed my life.
Yeah.
No,
I was like, was there any like tournaments you got to be a part of that you like won championships? Like was there any cool memory you got to do a team aspect wise? I'm just curious about that as well.
For that team, because it was so new, like I wouldn't say we won a lot. Like if we won, like that was a big accomplishment, right? One memory I do have is we did get to go for a weekend to Elmira. Like it wasn't like a tournament or anything. We got to just like practice on their ice, see the school. But like that was a really fun experience. We got to watch Elmira play against like Lebanon, I think. So it was cool to see like the college atmosphere and be like, hey, like I could do this. Like, this is fun.
Where's Elmira located? I've never heard of that school before.
Elmira is like, I want to say bottom of New York, kind of down there. I'm trying to think who they even play against. I think like SUNY Plattsburgh. Maybe not Plattsburgh.
I definitely would not know that, to be honest with you. So I was just curious because I've never heard that university. I was just curious where it was located, if it was like in Canada or if it was like somewhere in the States.
Yeah, it's actually, they're a good D3 school. They're like up there. They do good.
Yeah. I've always said D3 hockey is just as good as D1. Like, I think people, like, I don't know why people like kind of have that stigma towards it, but I think it's a really good, I think if you put D3 hockey player, you're better than like a good chunk of junior hockey players. So I never understood kind of the hate that D3 gets sometimes.
I agree. I've seen some really good D3 games. Mm-hmm. Like, there are girls playing D3 who could be playing D1. You know, you never know. It just depends on like how people want it, how they want their path to be, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes the school is just a better fit compared to a D1 school. So that's partly why people go D3. So I never understood that. So I'm a big D3 hockey guy, and I'll always be like a big advocate for it whenever I can.
Oh, same. Like, I think they're both great, and I think they're both going to help you with what you want to do in life. Like, it's just a great way, like playing hockey is just great. So it doesn't matter if you play D1, D3, you know?
Now, talk a little bit about the recruiting process that you had with Post. How did you get in contact with them, and what made you want to go to that school when you were with King Royals?
I don't even remember. I think I signed up. I had that like a recruiting page, like the NCSA, I think it was called. And I just got an email one day, like, hey, saw your video, like, I'm interested in, if you'd like to talk, like, and I'd never heard of the school before, so I was like, yeah, sure, like, I'm down to talk, explain to, like, oh, like, we're a new conference, newer team, looked more into them, I was like, okay, so it was just a matter of, like, do I want to be a part of something like that, or do I want to stick like more mainstream and join a team that's like been around for a while and like you kind of know like what to expect, versus like if I go to Post, it's like could go either way, like you don't know what could happen kind of thing. But I ended up touring the school, talking to some people, and I was like, well, why not, like done it before, joined a team to build that worked. It's like, why not try it again? Like, I want to be a part of something bigger than that. I just don't want to be like a name on the team. I want to help grow something. So I think that's the biggest reason why I came here.
And what was the adjustment period like from junior hockey to college hockey? Was it the mental side of the game, making quicker decisions, or was it kind of the speed of the game as a whole?
At first it was definitely like making little adjustments, like got to move it quicker. Yeah, just moving it quicker, moving my feet quicker. So I can say I did get caught flat-footed a couple of times. Like, it is what it is, right? Like, got used to it, so it was fine. But it was kind of like a tougher transition. And, like, the whole confidence thing, too, was kind of hard. Like, you get into it, you're like, oh, yeah, like, I have all this confidence from playing minors, whatever. Then you get to the game, and you're like, wow, like, everyone else is just as good, like better. It's hard. Like, I don't like, I'm definitely an overthinker. I was an overthinker. I was like, oh, like I can't mess up this pass. I can't do this. And then you overthink it, you end up messing it up. Right. Like, so it was definitely a matter of like getting over that and being like, hey, I need to just play my game. And that's where I'm at right now. So.
Yeah. What kind of helped you build your confidence up? Because I've always said this, I think confidence is a huge part of hockey that isn't talked about enough, because when you're playing with confidence, I feel like you're just an overall better player, because you're having that edge to win those board battles and, you know, maybe make that pass that you normally wouldn't have made. So, and you're not overthinking things as well, like you were saying. So how did you try to build up that confidence your freshman year, and how did it kind of help you with your sophomore year as well, or well, when you weren't playing games, and just transition to your junior year as well?
Definitely, it's definitely a big mental thing that you just kind of have to like sit and think about. It's not going to come right away, but with time you just got to tell yourself that like, hey, like calm down, you can do this, like nothing's changed, like you're still you, like you don't need to stress out about the little things, you don't need to worry about like what other people are thinking, like go out and play your game. And it took a while for me to realize it, but the more I kept telling myself that, I'm like, yeah, I have this. Like, I don't need to stress out. I don't need to overthink this. Like, I know how to do the basics. I know how to play hockey. Like, this is going to be fine. So it's having that mentality, I think.
Now, how would you overall evaluate your college hockey experience with Post so far?
So far, like, to me, I'm just like, I'm happy to be playing college hockey. Like, hockey is hockey. I'm happy with the decisions we made. I have no regrets. I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to play, and I'm excited to see what the future has.
So we're now in a segment I like to call the non-hockey segment, where I ask you some non-hockey questions just to get to know you a little bit more off the ice. So my first non-hockey question to you is, what sports moment do you think should have a documentary about it? And if you need help thinking about any of these answers, just let me know. I'll give you mine.
Sport, like, it can be any sports moment.
Yeah, it can be hockey. I know this is not a hockey segment, but it can even be hockey.
Yeah, hockey is a big one I watch. Like, my own personal, like, just one I've seen, like...
Anyone. Like, I would pick the Red Sox winning the World Series after the Boston Marathon bombing. I don't know if they've made it, like, 30 for 34, but I think it would just be interesting to kind of relive that story and how the Red Sox kind of united the city. I think that would be cool. So that's personally what I would choose.
I don't know what I'd choose. I think that'd be good. I like documentaries like that, kind of based off real things. I like that stuff. But I don't know what I would choose. There's so many great moments, like, from everywhere.
Would you do, like, I don't know if you remember this, the 24/7 documentary with Post Women's Hockey, like, kind of behind the scenes of your team? That would be kind of interesting.
I think that'd be cool. Just an opportunity for people to see, like, what it's like for us. Mm-hmm. I'd be down for that.
Would you, who would be the best player, like, mic'd up for that? Like, who do you think would, like, who would be, like, the superstar from that series from your team?
Mic'd up. That's a tough one. We have a lot of different personalities on the team. I think it'd be funny to see, my teammate Catherine mic'd up. She's a funny one. She's a little French girl.
Now, what is the most interesting thing you've seen or read this week?
Most interesting thing I've seen this week. Well, during our game, I saw a girl get tabled on the ice. That was pretty interesting.
What do you mean tabled?
There was one girl kind of down on, like, all fours from falling. And I guess the other girl didn't see her. She kind of skated backwards into her and went over her, like, tabled. You ever heard of that?
I've never heard of that, no.
It was funny, but looked like it hurt a little. I guess that's the most interesting thing I've seen this week.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they're okay. Was it? Hopefully they're okay. That's the only thing that matters, I guess.
Oh, yeah. They're good. They got up. They're both good.
Yeah. They should. Do you have, if you have video of that, that'd be pretty funny to, like, keep for, like, I guess, like, a joking purposes, I guess.
Yeah, definitely have to look at the game footage again. Find it.
Yeah, no, definitely interesting when those moments happen. I can't think of any, like, funny hockey moment. I think the funniest for me, or most embarrassing hockey moment, was when, like, I was doing a drill in practice, and it was, like, one of those drills that you do in, like, youth hockey to help you, like, teach you how to skate backwards. So basically, like, you go from the red line to the blue line and skate backwards, and then go skate forward to back to the other blue line and skate backwards, and then go to the red line. And when I was skating backwards, one of our goalies forgot to close the bench door, and I, like, fell, ate it and fell on the bench. So that was probably the most, like, embarrassing hockey moment that I've had. So that's, I kind of understand what that player's going through with the tabling.
How old were you when that happened?
I was probably, like, 11 years old. So it was when I was very young, but it was still kind of, I still think about it sometimes today, like, how embarrassing it was.
Oh, yeah. I had those moments too, so.
What's the most embarrassing hockey moment that you've had, I guess? It could be recently as well.
I don't know. Growing up for me, like, I always thought it was embarrassing when you, like, whip on a shot, or I've had some decent falls. Like, I had a hit freshman year that was kind of embarrassing.
Why was it embarrassing? Just because you fell after you hit them?
I got a concussion from it. It was a big hit, but, like, I have the video still. We all go back on it and we just laugh about it now. I got hit. The way I just flopped, it was funny. I mean, it wasn't funny that I got a concussion, but it was funny that the way it looked, it was funny. It's just something to look back on.
Oh, yeah. You have to laugh at those moments because that's the only thing you can really do about it. But
yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I feel like I've never got my ankles broken in a game. Like, there's been, like, stuff like that. So, and I don't think I've ever been, like, checked really hard in a game as well. So I usually do a good job avoiding them. So I haven't had that bad of a moment. So luckily you haven't really had that either, it sounds like.
Yeah. It's just the odd time you forget to, like, maybe, like, bend your knees a little bit when you're going for the hit. But other than that, it's fine.
Now, do you think body checking should be allowed in women's hockey? Because I know it's a penalty, which I don't agree with. I don't understand, like, if you're playing against other women's hockey players, I don't understand why you can't, you know, like, lay someone out if you need to.
Obviously, if it's a dirty hit, like, I'm not for that. But I don't see why not either. Like, our game can just – we can be just as aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, if you're lucky, you do get refs who let you away with that sometimes. And it's nice. Like, I think it helps you get more into the game, you know, and it brings up your aggression. If you're worried about hitting someone and getting called for it, then it's going to be like, I don't want to go as hard. Well, not necessarily that, but you're more cautious of it. And I don't think it's fun that way.
Yeah, I think it makes the game safer too, because you're not like, if you're being cautious about it, you could potentially like hit someone the wrong way and have them get hurt. When you're not really thinking about that behind it, potentially you can have more of a cleaner check, which I think
makes like,
the game safer.
Growing up, boys have their like checking clinics, so they learn how to do a body check properly and safely. Yeah. Like, why can't we do that? Like, I think it'll benefit us more that way than it is to say, hey, no, you can't do that.
Well, we'll see. I don't know if that will ever happen in the future. It's just a funny question, but to kind of pose. But what's the biggest check that you've ever given to someone in a game, if you can remember that?
It's hard because sometimes checks happen, you don't actually really mean to do it. Like sometimes if you're up against, like, I'm a bigger girl, so if a smaller girl comes up, like, I don't mean to purposely hit them. It just kind of happens kind of thing. So I've had some big hits like that where I'm like, sorry, like, it is what it is. But those, I can't think of one where I like was like, oh my God, that was a huge hit on my half. Like, sometimes it just happens and it happens. I'm like, I skate away from it. I'm not going to start anything from it. Yeah. I've had girls who are mad, but it's like, sorry, like, that's the game. It is what it is.
Yeah. Have you ever received any big hits? Have you been on the other side of it besides that, like, one concussion that you had, I guess, your freshman year?
Oh yeah, I've been a part of some big hits, but again, like, I'm not taking it personally. We're playing a game of hockey.
Yeah.
If you're gonna hit me, you're gonna hit me. I'm like, okay, good hit. That was good, nice.
So I guess we have to kind of get back to the non-hockey segment now, just because that's what we're in currently. Even though it turned into more of a hockey segment, but getting back to it, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would you live and why?
Good question. There's lots of places I want to go. I'm big into traveling. I think I want to live in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm. That seems like an interesting place, but they never get into any conflicts. So that's like the one thing that I like about that country. And I heard they have good chocolate there too.
Yeah, I've also heard that. I like colder weather, and I love the mountains, the Alps. So I would definitely live there. I've never been, but I've seen videos. Looks great. So I'd move there.
Yeah, that definitely seems like a cool spot. I'm fine living here in New England. I think it's a cool spot. You know, the thing with going to other places, and this sounds like a stupid guy kind of concern, is like, I like going to sports games, and like, I don't know like what the sports are like in other spots, and that's why like I'm very hesitant of like leaving like this area where like there's so much stuff to do.
That's a good point too. I like watching my hockey games. I think I have to live somewhere where hockey's big.
Yeah,
like, you're just used to it, so why would I want to change that kind of thing?
Yeah, so that's like the one like little concern I have about it. But other than that, if it was the off season, I'll definitely try to go down there and visit. I think that'd be fun for like a couple of weeks.
Yeah, like maybe like a separate house there, a little cottage. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Oh yeah. If I ever make enough money, if I can afford that, I'll totally splurge on stuff like that.
Yeah, same. We'll see though.
I feel like I'm confident in myself. Who knows? You know, in 20 years down the line, I feel like that could happen if I work hard enough. That's kind of my mentality on it. So
I think that's a great mentality to have. I'm the same way. Like, so, I have my goals. I'm hoping I can get there and hoping to make big money someday.
Oh, yeah. It's something that, like, I just dream about. Like, oh, like, what would it be like if I had the money to do stuff? Like, it sounds crazy, but it's true for me.
No, and that, like, kind of, like, manifests it in a way. Like, the more you think about it, the more you can do anything. Anyone can do anything. That's what I believe in, so.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. So that's a good kind of life advice to give someone.
Yeah.
Now, if there was a movie made about your life, who would you want to play yourself?
Oh, it's a tough one. I'm a big movie person, but I don't know who I'd want to play me. I don't really have any like favorite actresses, so
yeah,
sure. I guess whoever looks the most like me.
I feel like I would pick like Andrew Garfield just because I think he's a good actor, and I don't know, we look nothing alike, but it'd be cool to have to sit, tell people that he played me in a movie. So that's who I would pick.
I liked him in Spider-Man, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Tom Holland is more like my height. I think we're about both the same height, but I think Andrew Garfield would be a bit, is more of like my personality. So that's kind of like maybe combine them. I don't know, have them play me in the same movie. I don't know if that would work out, but that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. Yeah, I still don't know who I'd pick.
Yeah, I don't know any actresses on the top of my head, so I can't make any suggestions, but if I did, I would.
Yeah. One day, I'll think about that more.
Yeah. Now, what music are you into? Are you more of a, like, do you like just everything, or are you more like a specific genre of music?
I like everything. This is going to sound really weird, but I don't like sad music. Okay. Like the girls on team, they love to play like sad songs. I'd rather not be sad. So I like to listen to more upbeat things. I guess what I find myself listening to the most is like rap. And I listen to a lot of rock too, old rock. That's like my pregame. Like I'm playing AC/DC, I'm playing Motley Crue, I'm playing Guns N' Roses. Like that's my thing.
Yeah, no, totally. I guess I can't agree with you on that, just because like whenever you're in a bad mood, it's good to put on a sad song to kind of get the vibes going a little bit. So, but I do agree with you. I think it's good to, I would much rather listen to more pump up music in my opinion, but I can't agree with you with the sad music. Sometimes you need that stuff to get like the vibes going. It helps get you through tough, I guess, days or times in your life. So that's why I like listen to it occasionally, but not like the sad music that most people listen to, like stuff that I can relate to.
Yeah. I'm not saying I don't listen to sad music. I just prefer not to be sad. So if I am sad, I will. I got my sad country songs. You know, I'm good in case I need it. But I don't know. I don't like being sad.
Yeah, no. No one likes being sad. But exactly. I guess like everyone has to be at some point in their life, or everyone gets sad at some point in their life. My problem is I get angry. I get more angry than sad. I think then that kind of turns into sadness for me.
Yeah, that's definitely how I am, I think, too. Especially, like, in a hockey game. If I'm frustrated, I'm going to get, like, angry. Then I get a little sad. I don't know.
Yeah. Once the emotion comes in, that's when the sadness comes in for me. But when it's initial, it's, like, more anger.
Yeah.
So, who was the funniest on the post women's hockey team?
Who's the funniest? Oh, everyone makes me laugh. Everyone says their own things. Everyone has their moments, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For everyone, it's going to be different. Like, I have, like, the ones I'm closer with, right? Like, obviously, they're going to make me laugh more than others are.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I guess the funniest on our team would be Sheridan. I can't say your last name. Terrazano. She's funny. She can make anyone laugh. She, just the thing she says. or Delaney Mayer. They're both funny.
Now, who has the best style on the team? And I would like to add my personal input to this, because Cassie, I think it's definitely you. Obviously, a couple of weeks ago, we saw the outfit that you and some of your teammates pulled off. That looked awesome. So I'll definitely say you have the best style on the team. But who's coming in number two in your opinion? Because I don't think anyone can top that pimp coat, as Eve London called it.
Thank you for that. First of all, means a lot. For me, like, I don't like to wear the typical pea coats like everyone else does. Like I want something different. I want something that stands out. I want bright colors. Like
exactly. That's what makes you have the best on the team. Like you're not going with everyone's regularity with it.
Yeah, exactly. Runners up though. I look up like there are girls like they whip out these nice outfits. I'm like that. I'd wear that. Mm-hmm. But our Alaska girls, Ellie McKenna and Holly Kubicek, they pull up in some like different things too. And I respect them for that. They have some good outfits. They're underrated, but I love their outfits, like blue leather pants, like the boots. They do good too.
Yeah. I think, like, what was the mindset going into that Pemcoat, as people called it? Because everyone was, that's what people were calling it. What was, like, the mindset? Like, did you know the cameras are going to be there? Like, you had to pull up in something, like, different than other people?
I wanted, I don't know what the mindset was. I just happened to be, like, they had the camera that day. So I was like, okay, this worked out nicely.
That's awesome. That was very lucky for your part.
Yeah, but the mindset with it, I didn't even want to get that coat for hockey. I just wanted to have it. So it just happened to work out that way. Mm-hmm. I was worried to wear it though to the rink. I didn't want like PETA to find me or something. And like,
oh, it's fine. I don't have a problem with that. So I think it looks good. So
yeah, it was definitely my best purchase so far, but
mm-hmm. Any other future plans? I don't know. Is the camera going to be back at the rink? And, We want to know if there's going to be any other potential if there's a potential of you being featured on the Outfits of the Weekend post again.
My outfit yesterday was pretty good. I dressed up as Joe Burrow. I did his little
diamond necklace.
Mine's diamond necklace. I did my own little thing, but the turtleneck. I have another gray fur coat that I put on. I had the glasses. I was going to get a picture of it yesterday, but I didn't do it.
Oh, that would have been number one on the thing.
I got like kind of a picture, but I don't think it's like worthy enough of it. You know what I mean?
The picture. Oh, you send it the way. We have to highlight that. The Joe Burrow look, especially for Super Bowl coming up, like you have to send that.
I might have to. Again. But, yeah, I got some more outfits on my sleeve, but we only have one more home game. So. No. It's like dress to impress kind of night.
All right. Well, if the camera's there, you have to go all out for that. So that's my advice for that. But I have to see the Joe Burrow coat because I know even if the picture's not the best, I still have to see how you pulled that off because I know that you did a good job with it. But I will say this, Casty, at the end of the season, we're going to pick who has the best outfit of the season. So we have to – I don't want that outfit to not be considered. That's my – I'm trying to help you out a little bit with that.
Okay, I'll definitely send it your way.
Awesome. It's gonna be a competition. There's been some top candidates. I don't know if you've seen it, so it's gonna be interesting what happens.
Yeah, I've seen some good ones. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm willing to bring the heat though. Like I'm here to compete. So
yeah, you have to compete with some of them. You know, like if you're just gonna like, I'm too afraid to send the photo, you know, like then you can't win. But like if you like send it, you never know. That's the thing.
Okay. Yeah, so. I'll get to that.
I will say the men's one's pretty much already complete because the one outfit that this guy had, he had like the old school, like 1920s look. And I still haven't seen a men's outfit that has been better than that. So the men's one is kind of said and done, but I will say the women's one is wide open. There's still a lot of candidates to choose from. So that's why I'm waiting for like the season to kind of end for that one.
I'm interested to see the men's one. I want to see that picture.
Oh yeah, it's on the Instagram right now. If you like go through it, it's like one of the first ones. But the men's one is harder because most of the guys have to wear the same suit. So it's like for the women's ones, I feel like you guys dress a lot better because there's a lot more variety and like more freedom to do. With the men's, it's like just the same basic suit. But I think classic and the same thing kind of works sometimes. So that's why I'm like a big fan of like when a guy shows up in like a black tie, black suit, like looks very professional and looks ready for business. I think that's sick. So that's what I would normally wear.
Yeah, I definitely, it's fun being able to control that a little bit and have my own say in like what I want to wear. Like my outfits freshman year were like so boring, but I was like, I got to change this up. Yeah. I don't like that. I don't like the basic. I need something different. So.
No, what's a suggestion I have, which I think would be kind of funny, is you wear like the suit to a game, like the black tie and everything, like with the sunglasses, obviously.
Little like Men in Black kind of thing.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. I've never seen a women's hockey player do that, so I think that'd be kind of neat to try that out.
I definitely have to go buy a suit.
Then don't spend the money on that. I'm just saying.
I don't know. Definitely something to consider.
Yeah, that's just a little suggestion for me. I haven't seen that before, so.
If that's what it'll take to win, I guess I got to do it.
No, we have to see the Joe Burrow come up before we.
Oh, okay.
Before that gets consideration. So that's that. I will point that out, but it will be an interesting competition for the women's one. I will say that. I don't want to confirm, but there are three, four people that I have, we've thought of. So, but it'll be up to the fans for that, by the way. It'll be a fan vote at the end of the season, but it'll be interesting to see, what will happen, but we need you to be considered for it. Obviously that's the thing. That's my job is to find out the nominees.
Okay. Sounds good.
So back to some hockey questions now. First one is, I guess, what advice would you give a younger hockey player who wants to pursue a career in college hockey?
It's hard when someone's so young, because I know for me personally, I know, like, I work with a lot of kids back home too, like when I'm at work, but you could have all these people say all these things, but it takes like for you to like grow up and realize it yourself. So I could tell a kid like, hey, like, work hard and like you can have this happen, like keep practicing, go out, shoot those 200 pucks, like whatever, like do those little things. But it takes like for the person themselves to be like, hey, like, I want to do this, like I want to pursue that. So it's hard telling like a kid that. Like, you can push them and say like, hey, like, keep working hard, keep doing this, but at the end of the day, it takes them to like realize it. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but like, I know that's something for me personally. Like, I have someone tell me like, oh, if you do this, you can go there. I'm like, yeah, yeah, like whatever, like I know, like, and then it hits you the one day, you're like, wow, yeah, like I can still work hard and do this, like, okay, let's do it. Mm-hmm. So again, everyone's different, but that's how I see it at least.
And then the last question is, what should be done to help grow women's hockey in your opinion? It seems like it's been made strides. I feel like this Olympics has been the most like coverage I've seen, maybe because I do the podcast now, but it seems like it's been a lot better. It seems like it's been growing as the years have head on.
I think definitely compared to like 5 years ago, like the exposure is huge now. Like even combining the two leagues, like they did, like getting rid of the Canadian one, the American one, putting them together. Like, I think that was great. And since they've done that, there's been so much more exposure to the game. And I just hope that like more younger girls continue to play, so we don't like lose that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I hope it continues on. So I think like what they're doing now, the marketing is great. Like just getting girls into the game is even better. Mm-hmm. More camps and stuff like that, just to get girls more interested. Like, you know, little things like that, I think continue will grow it.
Now, do you have any shout-outs you want to give to your teammates, family members, friends before the interview ends? I know we mentioned some people throughout the interview, but if there's someone you forgot to mention, shout them out now.
Well, my roommate, Catherine, she wanted her shout-out. She said that she really wanted it. I don't know where she went. She wanted to come in, but...
All right. Never had a random guest show up. That would be kind of interesting.
But, yeah, definitely shout-out to my parents. for having me, so thanks. Wouldn't be anywhere without them.
Nice.
Yeah, that's those are my shout outs. This is hi. Catherine.
Oh, okay, how's it going? She said you wanted to make a guest on the podcast and have a shout out, so that's why.
She's my special shout out though.
Awesome. Oh, you are my special shout out.
I shouted you out.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So. Anyways. She said she want you want. I've never had like a guest come in the thing, so I was like, yeah, if she wants to come in for like a second. Oh. Feel free to do that. So, but good luck the rest of the season. It's been awesome to see kind of the growth of your team. It's been fun, and hopefully you can get some more wins as the end of the regular season goes on.
Yeah, hopefully.
What was your thoughts on her Joe Burrow outfit? She was telling me about it.
Wonderful.
Exactly. I thought it was awesome. She doesn't want to send it to us though, but I'm like, I want
it. It was great. It was honestly, she should. It was great.
So you're being a little too humble about that, in my opinion.
I got a lot of compliments on it, but I'll send it your way. You'll get
awesome. Because I need that. Because I was telling her at the end of the season, we're doing a thing where like whoever has the best outfit wins, like has the best style in college hockey. It's for both men's and women's, but like I need her to be considered for it because
it has to be Cassidy. It has to.
So, but there's been a lot of, for the women's side, it's like wide open. There's been a lot of interesting outfits. So it's going to be interesting to see who might win that, but it's going to be up to the fans, but I need the nominees, like I said. So I told Cassie, I'm like, you need to send me that outfit because I need that to be considered.
If she won't, I will.
So, I'll do it. Don't worry.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Cassidy, for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Catherine, for coming on and being a special guest. Shout out to you. But take care, guys, and I look forward to watching your team play in the near future. But thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and thanks again.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for listening to today's interview of College Hockey Talk. If you want to check out our older interviews, make sure to do that. You can do that on the Apple Podcast page, Spotify account, or our YouTube channel, where you can watch many different interviews from this podcast. Make sure you follow our social media accounts at College Hockey Talk, and I'll see you guys next time with another great interview. But until then, take care and have a great day. Bye. You're full of confidence and cheap cologne.